biblical teachings to the local church. And then there are pastoral teachings specifically written to pastors. But tonight, we get this melding of practical and doctrinal, which is quite beautiful. There's two words that are going to show up in this passage, and those two words are in this book, 1 Timothy, more than any other book in the Bible. And those two words are doctrine and godliness. Doctrine and godliness. So look at 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 to 5, and keep that in mind, that no other book has the occurrence of these two words more than this book. So 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, the Bible says, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself." So tonight, doctrine according to godliness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you use your word now to teach us and Lord, to grow us. We thank you for the privilege of studying it together, and that we have it, that we have a place to meet. Lord, just make it a special time in our hearts through your powerful word, and guide us, and we love you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So, notice it's about teaching. It's about wholesome words, which is doctrine. Notice verse 3, "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus gave us many commands. He gave us much doctrine in his time on earth. And the Bible says that in these last days, look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, that in these last days, doctrine would be basically set aside. Notice 2 Timothy 4, 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." We are in that time today, where most churches do not teach doctrine. The word doctrine means truth. They don't teach the word of God. They just teach a bunch of good, you know, speeches. And God says that these people, as you'll see in verse 5, are to be avoided. People that are teaching otherwise. People that are not teaching doctrine, but are instead teaching, as we'll see, a lot of other stuff. But what God is teaching us in this passage is that doctrine leads to a change in behavior. Now, it's up to us. We can sit in a church and listen to doctrine, but that doesn't guarantee we're going to change, does it? Because if we're not listening with our spirit, if instead we're not paying attention or not allowing the Holy Spirit to change us, then the godliness won't come. But God's goal is that he uses his word to what? Conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, to grow us, to make us more godly. So we don't learn doctrine for the sake of learning doctrine, is what I'm saying. We don't study just for the sake of studying. We do it because we know that as we learn and as we are in the word, God's going to use it to change us, which is God's ultimate goal, that he conform us to the image of our Savior. So he says, if they consent not to the wholesome words, but notice verse 3, and to the doctrine, which is according to godliness. So doctrine that leads to changed lives, leads to people acting more godly, which is what God wants, for the doctrine to be effective in our lives. Again, those two words, doctrine and godliness, more into 1 Timothy than any other book in the Bible. So look at 2 Peter 1:3, if you would, as a cross-reference. And again, we'll see this connection between godliness and doctrine. Notice 2 Peter 1:3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So God's given us what we need for life and godliness, but where's it come from? The knowledge, which comes from this book. That's doctrine. Remember back in chapter 4, 1 Timothy, the verse 7, if you would, God says, that we are to exercise ourselves unto what? Godliness. Notice it, 1 Timothy 4:7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. That word exercise, we looked at it, it's gymnazo, where we get our word gymnasium from. In other words, there's no mystical shortcut to godliness. It takes exercise. Just like there's no shortcut to becoming stronger or more fit, it takes exercise. You got to work at it, right? If you want to be fit running, you got to run. You got to exercise. If you want to be fit at the gym, you got to go to the gym. It just doesn't come like that. You got to work at it. God says we are to exercise ourselves unto what? Godliness. Studying this book, that's our nourishment. Obeying the book, praying, serving God, being faithful to church, exercising these spiritual things so that we can ultimately be more godly. Another good verse, Titus 2, if you would, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. So this phrase, doctrine, which is according to godliness, that's our title essentially tonight. Notice Titus 2, 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God that He's poured out upon us through salvation, it says it teaches us that we're to deny ungodliness and we're to live godly. So you see the connection here between the Word of God, doctrine, and godliness, which is what God wants from all of us. So what's the alternative? Back to our passage, 1 Timothy 6. Pride, knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, that means evil speakings, evil surmisings, which means guesses. God says this is what happens when the doctrine's not getting through. Ungodly behavior results. And these are some examples of that ungodly behavior. But isn't it interesting that he starts with that word questions? Look at 2 Timothy 2:23. You know, false prophets always use questions, usually hypothetical questions, to try to spread their false doctrine. It's been around a long time. Notice 2 Timothy 2:23. Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. If someone keeps asking you questions about things that you believe, or questions about things that they think you should believe, God says, just avoid it. They're just being used of the devil to try to lead you astray, to try to distract you from living for Jesus, which is what it comes to. But look what it leads to. Envy, strife, railings, surmisings. Verse 5, disputings. That means empty talk. Destitute of the truth. And here comes that word again. Supposing that gain is godliness. You see, godliness is evident in our spiritual behavior. But it's also evident in our physical behavior. If a person is truly godly, then they're going to what? They're going to act like Jesus. You know, next week we'll look at contentment as being part of that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So, godliness is not things that we gain, stuff. You know, the rich are constantly warned in these pastoral epistles, aren't they? That they can put on a better show than the poor and look more godly, but looking godly is not godly. Acting godly is godly. Amen? And this is what he's warning us about. Supposing that there's a substitute for godliness. And there isn't. Titus 1:16 is a good example. where God says that it comes down to not what we say, but it comes down to our behavior. Godliness affects how we act, how we treat others, how we speak, how we behave. And yeah, a lot of Christians can put on a show, but notice Titus 1:16, they profess that they know God. But in works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and in every good work, reprobate. So what is godliness? Well, he lays it out for us there in verse 4. No pride, no envy, no strife, no railings, which is evil speaking and gossip and judgmentalism. No evil surmisings, which is second-guessing God's word, but the fruit of the Spirit and treating people with, what, love and forgiveness. He says if there are people that are not behaving in a godly way, but they claim that they know doctrine, they claim that they know the word, but their behavior betrays that claim, what does God tell us to do in verse 5? Withdraw thyself. Isn't that interesting? Withdraw thyself. And notice Romans 16:17, another time when we're told to withdraw. It also comes down to doctrine. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Because we often, I think in our minds, we put doctrine over here. Like this is a body of truth, the deity of Christ and salvation. And then over here is our behavior. But what God is saying is they're not separate boxes. They're one box. That yes, we are to keep learning the word, but it's supposed to have an impact on our behavior and make us more godly, make us act more like Jesus. And he says if there are people that claim to know doctrine, but they don't act godly, what do? Avoid them. 2 Timothy 3:5 says it as well. Turn over there if you would. 2 Timothy 3:5. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. A form of godliness. Isn't that an interesting phrase? If you ever have people saying, look at me, look at my family, huge red flags should go up immediately. Because we're all sinners. Amen. And never are we told to be going around saying, look at me, I'm godly. Look at me, I'm amazing. Look at my family. You're just asking for a fall. Amen. And the haughty spirit goeth before a fall. So, doctrine, which is the most important thing of the pastoral epistles, one of the most common words, the words doctrine and truth, is according to godliness. It should change how we behave. And if you've got Christians who've been saved a long time, but they still don't behave godly, then the doctrine didn't get through according to God's word. They weren't listening with their spirit, and they weren't learning, and they weren't growing. So what does God want from us? Be in the book, but let it change us. The Holy Spirit will use it. Amen? James chapter 1. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25, and continueth therein, he being not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, when it reflects back sin to us, deal with it immediately. Get right with God. Doctrine according to godliness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Such a practical passage here. And I pray that each of us would take hold of it in our own hearts and lives and understand that learning is great, but living like Jesus is greater. And that we would learn that we are to do both, and that we're let the learning change us and grow us and refine us to be more like our Savior.